This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
I don't know how many of you remember Amy Carter, daughter of President Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter. She grew up, her childhood was in the White House, and a reporter put her on the spot one day and asked her a question out of the blue, and people made fun of Amy's answer, but I thought it was an honest answer. I thought it was a straightforward answer. I felt more power to you when she was asked a question because she wasn't prepared for a question. Somewhere in public, the family was out, and a reporter went up to Amy and said, "Amy, do you have a message for the children of America?" And she turned to the reporter and said, "No, I don't." And I thought, well, that's an honest answer. She had nothing brilliant to say. "No, I don't have a message for them. Thank you very much." That was it, the end of the conversation. We've been studying a book where every chapter, there's a message for America. Every chapter, there's a message for your life and for your marriage and for your family. And I hope you're perceptive enough to catch it. We've been reading comments where Jeremiah is speaking to a nation called Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, and he has prophetic things to say. If you people don't repent, the Lord has something in store for you. It's very frightening. And the people disregarded the message time and time again. And I hope you're shrewd enough to know when you read those words, they prophetically apply to the United States of America. And I think the Lord is speaking to this country through the words of Jeremiah. But he says things that apply to me and to you privately, personally, to a church corporately. And today we've got a lesson that we're going to look at from the book of Jeremiah, talking about covenant relationship that we have. We're in a covenant relationship with the Lord, that sometimes being a believer in the Lord means you stand alone. The hardest message to teach somebody who's a new Christian, you're going to have to stand alone. What does that mean? Well, it means that sometimes you're going to be in a situation socially where everybody says yes, and you're the one person who says, "No, I can't do that. I won't do that." Or the reverse of that may also be true, where everybody says, "No, we're not going to mess with that. We're not going to do that." And you're the one that says, "Yes, I will do that. I will help people in that situation." Standing alone can happen, listen carefully, in your own family. Some of you have had to stand alone in your family as a believer. Some of you have friendships where people aren't excited about the fact that you're a Christian. In fact, I've actually had people tell me that people tell them, we miss the old you. We wish you'd rotten up like the rest of us and just be like us. And we don't like the new you. And so people have to stand alone as a believer in Jesus Christ. So today's lesson out of the life of Jeremiah is a message about standing alone. Let me tell you how alone he was. For 40 years, he preached to the kingdom of Judah, and people rejected him wholesale. They totally disregarded. He got so depressed. This book, Jeremiah, you read about a man who's clinically depressed, because we read a few weeks ago, remember, he said, "I wish I'd never been born." He even says, "God, you tricked me. You fooled me, God, into becoming your servant, a prophet, and it's brought me nothing but grief." And here's what Jeremiah said. I've never read or heard anyone ever say this. He said, "I wish I had never been born, and I wish that my mother's womb had been my grave instead of the place from which I was born," which is an intriguing statement from a literature standpoint. "I wish my mother's womb had been my grave, and that I'd never been born." But it was in the same chapter where he says that he breaks into song with these words, "The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." Well, tune in tomorrow to continue this message from Jeremiah 37. That's crosshope.org. But it was in the same chapter where he says that he breaks into song with these words, "The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." I love that. The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. What in the world does that mean? All the power, all the capacities, all the authority of the Lord comes to bear in my life because the Lord's with me. I'm going to talk to you and to me about standing alone for the Lord as we read chapter 37 today. Some of you are expecting babies. We had women in all three services today that are expecting babies. You're looking for a name for a son. Got some great names in this chapter. They're unbelievable. Wait till you hear these names. Zedekiah, son of Josiah, was made king of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He reigned in place of Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim. You're going to have twins, Jehoiakim and Jehoiakim. Neither he nor his attendants nor the people of the land paid any attention to the words the Lord had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. King Zedekiah, however, sent Yehukal, son of Shelemiah, with the priest Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, to Jeremiah the prophet. You could write a country song about that one. The prophet with his message, "Please pray to the Lord our God for us." And then verse 15, they, meaning the officials of Judah, were angry with Jeremiah and had him beaten and imprisoned in the house of Jonathan, the secretary, which they had made into a prison. Jeremiah was put into a vaulted cell in a dungeon where he remained a long time. He remained a long time. My guess is that nobody's going to experience a Jeremiah experience in your lifetime. Nobody's going to be beaten necessarily and thrown into prison because of your message. That's why he was arrested and thrown into prison, because of his message. But I want you to notice the irony. Did you catch the irony where it says that the government officials and the people paid no attention to the Lord's message, yet two verses later, it says they sent somebody to Jeremiah and said, "Would you pray for us?" Do you find irony in that? You know, that's a parable of what goes on today. People who have no regard for the Lord. They don't give Jesus Christ the time of day. They don't pay attention to anything this book says. And yet, I'm glad people do this when there's a crisis, when there's an emergency. They say, "Would you pray for us?" You know, when we saw that as a nation in 9/11, 2001? But for that 1 week, churches all over America were full as people were saying, maybe we need to pray this Sunday. Maybe we need to pray this week. And it's an example to me of what God's people, these weren't pagans, they were God's people who paid no attention to what Jeremiah said. They paid no attention to the word of the Lord and yet had the audacity to say, "But pray for us because we're under attack." Be careful in your life. Pay attention when you notice that you have little regard for the word of God and little regard for the Lord. But on the same token, you want people to pray for you. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm glad people do. But be aware of the irony of that. Do you know what the comparison I would use? How would you feel if your spouse, your husband or wife, treated you in such a way, they were unfaithful to you, they spoke unkindly to you, they used foul language around you, they abused you physically or otherwise, and then say, "Tell me you love me before you leave today." You'd say, "Why? Think of me today, will you? Well, when you're at work, think of me." You would catch the irony of that. And to me, there's no difference in what God's people were doing. Total disregard for his word. They didn't even pay attention to what Jeremiah said, but they said, "Jeremiah, please, please pray for us." Well, before I share the message today on Cross Hope, I need to tell you a story about the story. Do you remember a famous painting by Norman Rockwell of showing four U.S. Marshals escorting a little girl, an African-American girl by the name of Ruby Bridges, into a school in New Orleans, a famous historical incident in the city of New Orleans, and there were four U.S. Marshals taking her in every day? Well, as it turned out, in one of my former ministries, actually in Texas, one of the members there was the daughter of one of those four U.S. Marshals. That picture took on a whole new meaning after I found that out. So when you hear that story, I want you to just have that idea of that this is a real story out of real history in the United States of America as we continue this message from Jeremiah 37. God bless you as you listen. I want to talk about what it means to stand alone. I want to give you a powerful story to begin with. Do you remember an incident that happened in New Orleans? When the New Orleans public schools were integrated for the first time, and there was a little girl named Ruby Bridges who was brought to school every day at 10 to 8 with four U.S. Marshals, two in front of her and two behind her, that escorted her into school to protect her as the school was being integrated for the first time. And what intrigued me about that story is not just what she told me, but this that I read later. Here's Ruby Bridges' mother said this in an interview. She said, there are a lot of people who talk about doing good and doing the right thing, and there are a lot of people who argue about what's good and doing the right thing. But then there are a few people who put their lives on the line for what's right. I love that statement. And I think of Christian people who like to talk about doing the right thing. And there are Christian people that are willing to argue with you. They'll fight you over what's right and what's wrong. But there's only a few people that are willing to put their life on the line and say, this is what I'm going to do. And standing alone means you're going to have to stand alone in your family, stand alone at work, stand alone at school. And that's not to psych you out and say, you know, this is terrible. It's an honor sometimes to have to stand for the Lord and say, I'm going to stand for the Lord. And I'm willing to stand alone. And that will happen. If it hasn't happened to you, it will happen. But here's the message. When you stand alone, you're not really alone. When you stand alone for the Lord, you're not really alone. The Lord is with you like a mighty warrior that I quoted earlier. But I want to tell you a powerful story to illustrate that. Rusty Stevens was a director for a Christian organization known as the Navigators in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He said, one day I was feverishly pushing the lawnmower around our yard, and I wondered if I would finish before dinner. My six-year-old son, Mikey, walked up and without even asking, stepped in front of me and placed his hands on the mower handle. Knowing that he wanted to help me, I quit pushing. The mower quickly slowed to a stop. Chuckling inwardly at his struggles, I resisted the urge to say, get out of here, kid. You're in my way. Instead, I said, here, son, let me help you. As I resumed pushing, I bowed my back, leaned forward, walked spread-legged to avoid colliding with Mikey. The grass cutting continued, but more slowly and less efficiently than before, because Mikey was helping me. Now listen to this. Rusty says this. Suddenly, tears came to my eyes as it hit me. This is the way my Heavenly Father allows me to help Him build His kingdom. I pictured my Heavenly Father at work seeking and saving and transforming the lost, and there I was with my weak hands helping. My Father could do the work by Himself, but He doesn't. He chooses to stoop graciously to allow me to co-labor with Him. Now listen to this. Rusty says this. Suddenly, tears came to my eyes as it hit me. This is the way my Heavenly Father allows me to help Him build His kingdom. I pictured my Heavenly Father at work seeking and saving and transforming the lost, and there I was with my weak hands helping. My Father could do the work by Himself, but He doesn't. He chooses to stoop graciously to allow me to co-labor with Him. Why? For my sake, He wants me to have the privilege of ministering with Him. I want to suggest to you that when you think you're all alone taking a stand for the Lord, you're not. Just like Mikey was not alone pushing the lawnmower, his dad was behind him, and when you stand for the Lord, you have the power of Almighty God standing with you and beside you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with you. And I really believe that. You know why you need to believe that? Because it makes standing alone a little easier to know that ultimately you do not stand alone. Let's bring up verse 2 again. This is remarkable to me. But neither he or his officials nor the people themselves paid a bit of attention to the message God gave by Jeremiah the prophet. All I want to say about that verse is be careful when you dismiss with a wave of the hand something you read in Scripture. I'm amazed, and I'm talking about people like me who casually say, I don't believe that. I'm not going to follow that. And we dismiss the Word of God with our hands. We dismiss the Word of God with our hearts. And we sometimes find ourselves dismissing the Lord Himself. Dismissing the Lord Himself. I ask for people's Bibles when I conduct a funeral, particularly of an older person. If someone is up in years and I'm asked to conduct their funeral and I know they were a believer, it's not uncommon for me to say, could I have their Bible? And you say, what do you do with it? Well, I go through it and I find verses that are highlighted. I find notes in the margin. I find a place that's starred because I know that that meant something to that person. And so I will use those verses oftentimes, or some of those, at the funeral of the person. Here's what your grandfather marked in his Bible. Here's what your grandmother, here's what your mom marked in her Bible, and I'm going to use that to speak to the family, and it's very powerful to do that. I asked for one man's Bible in Columbus, Ohio, and I just made it to the front cover. I didn't even make it to the Bible. I found what I needed to share. It was something he wrote. There was no author given. Some of you could probably find on the internet for me who said what he wrote in it. But here's what he had written in his Bible. The greatest miracle is that God takes an unholy person out of an unholy world, makes them holy, and puts them back into an unholy world and keeps them holy. Listen to that again. The greatest miracle is that God takes an unholy person out of an unholy world, makes them holy, puts them back into an unholy world, and keeps them holy. That's what standing alone is all about. God has called every man, every woman, every young person in this room sometimes to stand alone for the kingdom of God. And God takes you and he takes me out of an unholy world. You know what he does? He makes us holy because of what Christ did on the cross, not because of us. You don't have any holiness on your own, neither do I. Any righteousness we have, the Bible says, that's applied to us, that's attributed to us, that's imputed to us through what Christ accomplished on the cross, we simply reflect him. And we're willing to stand alone as a believer in Jesus Christ. Decide today that if need be, I will stand alone this week, knowing that the Lord is with you like a mighty warrior. The Lord is with you like a mighty warrior. There was a minister in the Chicago area when my dad was ministering in the Chicago area by the name of Ed Towne, T-O-W-N-E. Ed ministered in Rockford, Illinois, which is west of Chicago. What was unique about Ed Towne as a minister is that he was profoundly deaf. Even though he wore hearing aids, he still spoke, and I'm not mocking her, but you know exactly what I mean. He slurred words. He didn't pronounce, he didn't have definition with a lot of his pronunciation, because he couldn't hear. And yet what was remarkable to me is the Lord used him as a powerful preacher. I heard him several times and was deeply moved by a man who was profoundly deaf preach. 3 weeks before Ed lost his life in an automobile accident, he shared something with his congregation. He wrote just three weeks before his accident. I want you to listen to what he said because it relates to the message. He wrote this and shared it with his congregation one Sunday. Lord, I offer myself to you. Not just part of me, but all of me. Lord, here are my eyes. Help me to see the good in others, to focus on Jesus Christ above all else. Help me to weep over the hurts and the lostness of people. Now, this is interesting for a deaf person to say this. Lord, here are my ears. Use them to hear the cries of the hurting, the lonely, the oppressed, the discouraged people. Help me to hear your still small voice in whatever you want me to do and be. Lord, here's my mouth. Use it to speak only your words. No slander, no backbiting, no criticism, no tearing down of other people that make me feel bigger. Only words that build up. Lord, here are my hands. Use them to reach out with deeds of kindness, to extend a pat on the back, not a slap in the face. Listen to that again. Lord, use my hands to reach out with deeds of kindness, to extend a pat on the back, not a slap in the face. Lord, here are my arms. Use them to lift up the fallen, to share a hug of encouragement and comfort to anyone at any time. Lord, here are my legs and feet. Use them wherever you want me to go. Now listen to this next line. I shared all of this for this next line. Lord, help me to stand firm alone when all else seems shaky, to walk in your ways no matter how difficult it may seem to be. Lord, here's my back. Use it to bear burdens with others and carry my share of the load. Lord, here's my mind. Use it to dream, to plan, to think on whatever is excellent and worthy of praise. Help me to set it fully on things above, not on earthly things. Lord, here's my heart. Use it to love as Christ loved, to serve as Christ served, and to care with his compassion. Here I am, Lord. Use me, all of me, every moment, every day, every opportunity, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, for your glory and honor. 3 weeks later, Ed Towne was dead. But I want to suggest to you that what he wrote is a word for somebody in this room today. There are men who need to pray this prayer, parts of it, and you know it. Why? Because you've been using everything you've got for your own gain. You've been using everything you've got for your own personal gratification. You've been using everything you've got for you, for you, for you, and you need to hear this prayer, and I need to hear this prayer, and pray this prayer. Lord, help me to use whatever I have for your glory. There are women in this room who need to pray this prayer and need to focus on what they can do for other people, and people need to know this prayer and say it, because sooner or later, you will have to stand alone. Well, recently we mentioned that we're now in our 36th year of broadcast on the radio. This program, in one shape or another, has been airing for over 35 years. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.